I'm going to call to order the Ways and Means Committee hearing for Friday, April 20th. We don't have a quorum yet. We were hoping to start with Representative Beardsville, but we don't have him yet. So, Representative Downey, if you'd like to talk about House File 418, we will wait till we have a quorum to take any official action. For those people that are in the room, the Holberg and Cornish bills will not be heard until after session. In addition, we added House File 1752 House to the agenda last night, and that bill will also be heard after session today at the call of the chair. And so we'll start, Representative Downey, if you'd like to start talking about your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I guess I can't move the DE1 amendment, but that's what we should be operating off in terms of the discussion. And members, House File 418 is, after the DE1 amendment is applied, is intended to start the process that we started for the OET, Office of Enterprise Technology Consolidation, 3 years ago, with a study looking at the back office operations of the state. And by back office, we're talking about the accounting, payroll, human resources, procurement, and finance functions, and identifying where across all of the executive branch agencies and attached boards we have redundant functions and processes and systems. Members, this is facilitated by the fact that we are very close to completing in the executive branch agencies the installation of the new SWIFT accounting system. So we have a common IT system platform underneath all of these agencies now. And so the opportunity to look at whether or not we need to have all of these business functions operating across all of these agencies is very ripe for us. So the original bill talked about actually doing the consolidation. The bill as we have it now is roughly a companion to what is moving through the Senate, where we're actually doing a study. I don't want to speak for the administration. I know I have talked to Commissioner Kronk, and they are very interested in conducting this. And if we pass this here today, we'll have this bill in the House, the bill in the Senate, and a good conversation with the administration on how to get this done. One of the major changes in the DE1 is that we are assuming that the study and some kind of immediate findings from the study would be able to pay for the cost of the study. And there's also a provision in here that if you can't pay for the study through existing appropriations, savings from the study, there are savings being generated from the Office of Enterprise Technology Consolidation that could perhaps also be tapped in this vein of using good work that we're doing and savings that we're generating to fund the next round of investigation and looking at how to do things better. So with that, Madam Chair, I don't know if we have a quorum or not, but I'm glad to answer questions or move the bill as you see fit.
We do now have a quorum. I'll officially call the meeting to order. Mr. Smith will note the roll. We also have in our packets the minutes from the April 18th committee hearing and corrections to January 24th meeting minutes and March 23rd meeting minutes. On the 24th, my name was left off of a roll call, but counted. On March 23rd, Representative Westrom's name was left off a roll call detail, but was counted in the total. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'd like to, because April 18th was my birthday, I would like to make the motion to approve the minutes for your suggested amendments.
All right. Happy birthday, Representative Carlson moves. Well, I think we already did it two times on the floor, so don't push it.
starting to add years.
All right. Representative Carlson moves the minutes of April 18th and the corrected minutes from January 24th and March 23rd. Are there any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The minutes are approved as distributed. Representative Downey, if you'd like to move your bill for consideration by the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'd move House File 418 be passed and sent to the General Register.
All right. And then the DE1 to get the bill in the shape you'd like to discuss it further.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just move the 418 DE1 amendment that members should have in their packets.
All right. Representative Viscons.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I vote on this, Representative Downey, I noticed the fiscal note in our packet. Does the fiscal note speak to the bill or to the DE1 amendment? And if it speaks to the DE1 amendment, then I guess, Madam Chair, I'm wondering why this is before us, as there is no fiscal impact according to the fiscal note.
Representative Downey.
Madam Chair, I'll confess to being a little confused by the fiscal note. Members should be aware that the original fiscal note for House File 418 was somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 million last year, because I was proposing the overall project of actually doing the consolidation. So I'm going to assume that this fiscal note probably is looked at the DE1 amendment and the Senate file language. Because, Madam Chair, this is very different from the fiscal note before. Representative Biskins, the DE1 amendment actually does bring this down to a zero cost that is specifically prescribed in the DE1.
Members, if you look at page 2 of the fiscal note under the assumptions, it looks like they need to have additional discussions. And you talked about Commissioner Kronk and his feelings regarding the bill. I don't know if you have seen a copy of a letter dated this morning, April 20th, that was distributed to the committee members, which expresses some concerns of OET. So I think the reality here is that while the fiscal note has zero on the front, there were some expressed uncertainties about the bill in its previous form. Not sure what the DE1 does, but we
Madam Chair, if I could draw members' attention to the DE1, because this actually does totally address the fiscal question that we're discussing. The previous bill talked about actually conducting the first phases of this consolidation activity, which generated the very large fiscal note last year. The current version of the bill, which was originally worked out by, or the current version of the DE1, which was worked out by the Senate, reduces this from actually doing the consolidation to doing the benchmark study and the planning for it. And in the DE1, it specifically says that the commissioner of the Department of Administration would use general funds previously appropriated or savings from the process, or then eventually, if that weren't to materialize, then they would use the savings being generated from the OET consolidation. So right now, the DE1 amendment says this should be no cost. They should find a way to do it from the in existing appropriations, or the savings from the project, or the savings that have already been generated from the Office of Enterprise Technology consolidation project. The letter you have is from the Department of Office of Enterprise Technology saying they would prefer that we not start rating the savings that they're generating to fund the next initiative. I think that's a good discussion to have, frankly. As we start to succeed with these initiatives and generate savings, we should start to redeploy some of that return on investment to the next round of activity that makes us more efficient and effective in the back office. So in the end, the DE1 should have zero cost as it is currently written, and it gets us to a point where we can have the final negotiation with the administration.
Representative Viscons.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, with that explanation, then I would highly encourage all members to approve the DE1, and then as a matter of form, because there is no cost, simply move the bill out of this committee and onto the floor.
Thank you. Representative Reinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is along similar lines, but a preliminary question regarding the November 1st date. Is the administration in agreement that this is a doable date, or is it pretty aggressive to get what you want? Do you feel like that timeline is realistic?
Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Breinert. This should be realistic, and I don't want to go into a ton of detail here unless it's really important to the members, but there is an organization that is contracted by the National Association of State Budget Officers that does these benchmarking studies. There's a fairly known cost to it, and then there's also a pretty well-established timeline to getting it done. We actually talked about this at length with the commissioner's staff during our One Minnesota breakout sessions, and I think there is agreement that this is the right way to do this, and so this date I think is very reasonable given all those discussions.
Representative Breinhardt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So back to the financial question, or whether there is or isn't a fiscal note here. You talked broadly about, in other contexts, about deploying dollars to the next round. Well, you're kind of in a circle here. You're deploying dollars in advance of the round, and in the sense that you're making some assumptions about those savings and the availability of financing for the project, and I just and I think that Representative Holberg's or Chair Holberg's already indicated that there's some additional conversation needed with the department, but I just wanted to highlight that it's not obvious that there's no cost to this bill.
Representative Downey.
Madam Chair, correct. I think this would probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of $200,000 to $400,000 to a direct appropriation to fund it. I will tell members, we have another 15 months left in this biennium, and if this study is conducted in a three-month period, and there are the size and scope of some ready-made opportunities, especially in the area of procurement, that this would identify, I believe that this initiative would far more than pay for itself in some kind of immediate quick hits that would be identified through the study. So in my own mind, I look at this and say, boy, if we take our foot off the gas, we're missing a huge opportunity, and we should push forward with this. And so I'm challenging the administration to think like that in the DE1 amendment. But obviously there's a discussion to be had, and the Senate version does do an appropriation, and we can have all of those discussions and hopefully come to an agreement and do what I think everybody wants to do and do it the right way.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am concerned about this language that says, and this habit, or this to-be habit, of saying must use general funds previously appropriated. So if we did our budgeting right and did it for outcomes, then there are outcomes that are not going to be done before, because of your bill. So we need to know what outcomes we are not doing to substitute for the new outcome that you want. And so I don't think we can do this kind of thing without knowing what we're not foregoing, because apparently, or you should have been making an appropriate outcomes budget for the Department of Administration. So if that's the case, then we need to know what's not getting done because you want them to do something else instead. What made you change your mind from just last year about something you wanted to get done and now it's not getting done? Am I explaining myself? You look perturbed.
Madam Chair,
Representative,
perplexed, not perturbed. I'm not sure if I totally follow the question. The original proposal that I had Madam Chair, maybe I'll let Representative Wagenius restate her question.
Yes, I'm obviously not making myself clear. I'm looking just at this, forget the original proposal. I'm just looking at this amendment, which says must use general funds previously appropriated to the commissioner. Okay. I'm assuming you did an outcomes-based budget for the Department of Administration. So, and I think that's a good assumption. So now you want to spend money for this instead. What outcomes that the Department of Administration, what outcomes that they were going to deliver to us and the people of Minnesota are not going to get done because you're substituting this new duty that is going to cost money.
Madam Chair, Representative Wagenius, we don't do outcome-based budgeting in Minnesota. Representative Banyan has proposed legislation to that effect, and I don't think the governor's office has been receptive to that, so it hasn't passed. To the broader question about what isn't getting done or what won't get done by virtue of the fact of this bill passing, what hopefully won't continue is very inefficient back-office processing. So that would be, that's what won't get done later. So the gain in efficiency is what we're looking for.
Well, actually, maybe you're just not aware, but DNR has been working hard on outcomes-based budgeting since for 5 years now. PCA is doing outcomes-based budgeting. You don't need a statute to do outcomes-based budgeting. You could just do it. And I can see from their budget that one of the reasons we don't have all of our functions way up to date is we haven't spent money on the computers we need, period. We don't have the computer systems or the systems that we need. So it's our choice not to spend money that gets us into some of these problems. So the notion that we're going to immediately get some money because we're doing this doesn't ring true to me. It seems to me that what we're really looking at is brand new computer systems or not systems, but people doing the programming right and bringing us up to date. We are not up to date in Kansas City or here. So that's one of our biggest problems, and you have to address that straight on. You just can't say flowery language. I really object to this bill. I don't think it's helpful.
All right. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I was going to raise many of the same points that Representative Wagenius did, and I'll just say that I don't think we can really say there is no cost. And I remember meeting with one of the higher ed system heads a while back. There were a number of requests for studies and reports on the House side and on the Senate side, and he came in and talked about how many staff he was going to have to either hire or reallocate to do all the studies, and he was basically asking for help. Now, I'm not saying this is multiple, but the point is that there are internal costs, and this bill clearly states that when you talk about reallocation. So I just wouldn't use the term no cost. There's
Madam Chair, just
Representative Downey.
Very briefly, I know we're trying to move forward here. I just want to stress to people how big this opportunity is, and if we do it right, the value that will be returned to taxpayers, both in terms of more efficient functions down here, but also the ability to reallocate the money that's currently being spent on redundant back office processing that most businesses started taking out of their organizations literally 20 or 30 years ago that we've barely started to do. And if you want to fund the programs, you got a great way to do it by taking money out of the non-value-added number-crunching accounting functions that we have all over the place. I remember hearing 2 years ago, I think, we were talking about some fraud perpetrated in the Department of Human Services, and I think we heard that there were literally 25 different places in the Department of Human Services where we process accounts receivable. I mean, think of that. We now have a common IT platform across all the executive branch agencies in the state of Minnesota. They're all running basically the exact same software, the exact same screens, the exact same functions. And if we can't take a look at that now and find a way to rationalize all those operations, hundreds, maybe thousands of people and bring them together, perform the functions in a better way, reduce the costs, and provide that money back to the programs or the taxpayers of Minnesota. Boy, that's a huge opportunity we've lost. And if we can't find a way to do that so that you can find enough savings out of a multi-billion dollar organization to pay for a $200,000 or $400,000 study, members, I'm just at a loss for what we're trying to do behind the scenes down here. So I think this is very reasonable. From my perspective, the administration wants to do this. We want to do it, passing this bill from here and giving us a chance to negotiate it out with the Senate and the administration, in my mind, is just absolutely a good thing. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Members, we have the DE1 amendment in front of us. Representative Downey renews his motion that the DE1 amendment be adopted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The DE1 amendment is adopted. Representative Downey, if you'd like to renew your motion.
I'd renew my motion that House File 418, as amended, be passed and referred to the General Register.
All those in favor, say aye.
No. Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
No.
House File 418 passes. I think what we're going to do now, Representative Champion has asked that we deal with an issue, and generally our practice has been that if we have smaller bills that are contained in larger bills, we do the big bill first and then move the smaller bills along. But at this point, I'd like to call Representative Detmer to the stand and deal with what will become a component of Representative Beard's bill as well. And so, members, I'd like to take up Senate File 1957. And there is a DE1 amendment for that bill. Representative Anderson. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I'll move Senate File, or I'll let, how about if I let Representative Champion move Senate File 1597 for consideration by the committee? And then there's the DE1 amendment. Would you like to move that as well?
Yes, so move, all right. Madam Chair.
In order to get the bill in the shape the author would like to discuss, all those in favor of the DE1 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The DE1 amendment is adopted. Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Champion. And I kind of look at this legislation. It's like getting on a bus and moving down the highway and trying to pick up different people to support your legislation, and also you got to work with MnDOT to smooth out the bumps in the road and fill in the potholes. So I think we've done that, no pun intended. But we have some good legislation here for our veterans that are owning small businesses preferences, and I have a packet there of some letters of support. If you would take a look at that. We have a letter of support from General Nash, Adjutant General. On the back of that, we have a support letter from the United States Veterans Legislation Council of Minnesota, which includes all the different veterans organizations in the state of Minnesota. We also have a letter of support from the Association of Minnesota Counties, because this legislation also allows counties to have preferences for small veterans businesses. And then we also have a letter of support from the Minnesota Intercounty Association. So we have a wide range of support. Also, Commissioner Shelato, I've spoke to him. There's support there from the commissioner.
Representative Detmer, this is the Ways and Means Committee. We have a fiscal note in our packet. Could you speak to the fiscal note impacts?
Yes, Madam Chair and committee members. The fiscal note comes out of the Highway Trunk Fund. MnDOT wants to bring on one full-time employee to oversee this program for veterans, small businesses. So that's the fiscal note. It does not come out of the general fund.
All right. Members, any questions? Representative Rukavina.
Representative Detmer, you know, there's kind of a regimented prevailing wage between the feds and the state on a lot of transportation
construction projects, is that addressed, or that would be required?
That is not, you know, part of this legislation.
Well,
Representative Rukavina.
Well, Madam Chair, you're having the Department of Transportation make sure that up to a certain percentage of bids go to veteran-owned small businesses, and I'm just asking you if it's your understanding then that they have to, you know, be required to do all the prevailing wage requirements that are currently required by the Department of Transportation.
Madam Chair, Representative, you're correct, yes.
Okay.
Representative Champion, did you want to add anything to your portion of the bill here?
No, Madam Chair, just that this is a portion that this committee has already seen and has already passed.
All right. Members, any additional questions on the Senate file 1597 as amended? Seeing none, Representative Champion renews his motion that Senate file 1597 as amended be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Representative Beard.
Yes.
Ready to go.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move House File 2685 and get it before the committee.
Representative Beard moves House File 2685.
Madam Chair, I do have a couple of amendments. This is become known colloquially as Omnibus Bill Number 2. On the floor, we have the bill, the Omnibus Policy Bill from last year. The bill you have in front of you, members, is work that the Transportation Policy Committee did this year in putting together several housekeeping bills and a few other initiatives that we wish to talk about, members, to get the bill in the shape in which I'd like to discuss. Madam Chair, I'd like to move the H-2685-828-3 amendment that you have in front of you. It's a four-page amendment that deletes several sections. I'd like to move that amendment.
All right, members, Representative Beard moves the H-28-3 amendment.
You'd like
describe.
Madam Chair, would you like me to describe it?
Just briefly, what it, what changes it makes in your bill?
Yes, members, Madam Chair, page one, section one, we delete. That is, I believe, the yes, there are some data practices provisions that traveled in another bill. MnDOT has a new project that they'd like to, or a new construction technique they'd like to work with called construction manager. General manager technique that had some privacy and data practices provisions that had to travel to civil law, so we don't need that here. In page 5, section 5, we're going to insert this is again a data practices request. I think this was the I think as I described maybe to this committee once before, people that get in accidents and knock down signs and semaphores and streetlights. That is it's a highway patrol function to describe the accident. It's a MnDOT function to find the people after the fact and have their insurance pay to put a traffic standard back up. That's about $3,500, I know from personal experience, members. And your insurance will pay it if we can get the two departments to talk to each other and actually share the data. This allows them to do that on a case-by-case basis. Down on line 1.19, Section 16 has already passed the floor of the House. The next line, sections 20 and 21, have already passed the House in another bill. In fact, everything you see down through section 29 has already passed in another form, so we'll delete it from this bill. Page 29, line 7, this is to reduce the fiscal cost, I believe, to public safety. We're changing the bond requirements. This was a request of the Auto Dealers Association on cars that are, I believe, reconstructed and have a high value. This is a technical piece we need to put in here to reduce the cost to the Department of Public Safety. And I'm going to look at Pat McCormick to see if she wants to, am I missing the boat on this? Is that a rather accurate description? Close enough, I think they're saying. Okay. Unless there's specific questions, there are people in the audience, Madam Chair, who can speak to that. Over on page 3, section 32 is already passed into law. Let's see, page 32, line 27 on line 3.12. This is a technical change that we needed for a group that you'll hear more about on the floor called Motorcycle Guard. This is agreement language that requires the guard, if should it become law, to notify cities that they're going to be having a motorcycle ride through their city and exempt cities of the first class from participating if they wish. Section 35 to 41 is also already passed into law, I believe. Just a moment here, I have it right here. Yes, this is the school bus criteria, sections 35 to 41, and that was Representative Howes. I believe that bill has already passed the floor. Section 44 has already passed the floor. And then the last of them, page 43. On page 3 of the amendment, lines 3.17 through 3.22, this refers to Representative Howes' school bus language as well. Line 3.23, section 59 has already passed into law. Page 54 is, this is going to be deleted. If it's not, if this will delete a section of law that allowed distance-based fares for the transit companies in the Twin Cities. We're going to give up on that idea for this year. And then 3.25, section 72, once again refers to a section regarding school bus safety, which is Representative Howe's bill, and that has already passed into law. Members, that's the DE1 amendment. I'd encourage its adoption or stand for questions.
All right, thank you. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think I've seen some of this language before with the motorized bicycle issue. And is this language then that I think I asked you this question in an earlier bill someplace that's acceptable to the concerns of some senior citizens and handicapped persons that needed those low speed, I'll call them motorized bicycles, because it pops up several places here.
Yeah.
And I've had contact from some local constituents as well as some people from out in the Wayzata area and so on that were interested in having access to trails and so on with these electric bicycles that can't go over, I think it's 20 miles an hour or something like that. So is all of that resolved with this language, I guess, is the basic question, Madam Chair.
Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, in this DE1 amendment that we're on at the moment, it's not a DE1, I'm sorry, it's the A 28-3. Representative Carlson, it's not in here specifically. There is language in the bill, and there is an amendment, I believe, that Representative Hornstein is going to offer that regards that language that we'll talk about in a moment, if you wish.
Madam Chair, I was looking at the wrong amendment. We will address that with Representative Hornstein's amendment then.
All right. Any other questions on the A28-3 amendment? Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Beard, just to be clear, you're deleting the pilot project on distance-based fares. That's correct.
Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, that's correct. Okay. Representative, yes.
Thank you.
All right. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Beard, questions have been posed to me about online learning for driver's ed.
Mm-hmm.
Does your amendment solve or resolve some of those problems, or is that something we still have outstanding?
Representative Beard.
Madam Chair.
That's in the amendment.
I can speak to the whole issue largely. Okay. There are actually two online driver ed initiatives, Representative. One was it was the bipartisan effort, Representative Simon, Representative Biskins. That is in House File 1 that's currently on the fiscal calendar for today on the floor. And that's the one that's transportation policy. It's a portion of that bill. And I know there is some heartburn, to use Representative Hornstein's term, about that we'll probably have to discuss in conference committee. The provisions in this bill, which are not directed in the amendment that's before us at the moment, but within the bill there is another portion that is Representative Bruce Anderson's initiative that seems to have much more general acceptance and isn't as controversial. So there's actually two driver ed, online driver ed provisions, one in last year's bill, one in this year's bill.
Well, when you use the words isn't as controversial, can we then, after your amendment is adopted,
Certainly.
I was wondering if it was in this amendment, but after the amendment is adopted, could you address that?
Certainly.
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to.
All right. Any other questions on the A28-3 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. The A28-3 amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair.
I'm sorry, Representative Beard.
I have at least I have one other amendment. I know there are a couple others. Should we go through the next technical one?
Certainly.
And I'm going to look to Mr. Marks, perhaps, or someone for some help. There's the 830 and the 906. This is an amendment that has come to us from several areas, including the department, the aviation department, or aeronautics at MnDOT. It just adds the word non-commercial aviation activities to recreational purposes. This is necessary because there is one airport in the northwest angle. It's the only way to get to the northwest angle without going through Canada. But they've had to drop the public use portion because of some insurance and other legal exigencies. And this will fix that problem and open that airport to public use again. What I'm not sure is the amendment says they're drafted. And I'm sorry I didn't clear this up. One says put it on page 51 after line 8. The other says 51 after page 28. Which one should we use?
Representative Beard, why don't we let staff consult about that?
Certainly.
Unless they have a quick answer. Otherwise, we'll go on to another amendment. Ms. Novak, would you like some time to...
Okay. Madam Chair and members... I believe there's an error in the 909 amendment. Line 8 is in the middle of a section. So okay. I would suggest using the A30, which places it after line 28.
And I don't have the 909 even.
906.
906.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, good. I thought we had even more amendments. All right. Members, Representative Beard would like to move the A30 amendment. Are there any questions on the A30 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The A30 amendment is adopted. Next, Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, I am happy to put the A32 language that we just talked about with Representative Detmer and Representative Champion into this bill, if that's the wish of the committee, and if someone would like to move it, now that it's cleared this committee, I'd be happy to adopt it into here.
All right. Joe. Representative Champion moves the A32 amendment. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment's adopted. Representative Hornstein, I believe you have the A27 amendment.
That's correct, Madam Chair, and I'd like to move that.
All right. Representative Hornstein moves the A27 amendment.
Madam Chair, we had quite a bit of discussion in committee about the kinds of vehicles that Representative Carlson was talking about, these electric-assisted bicycles, and this just simply delineates the fact that these are separate entities from motorcycles, and so therefore the licensure and financial aspects of the licenses would be not taxed the same way that a motorcycle would be, because it's a completely different vehicle. So I know that we've talked... Representative Beard and I have talked, and I believe he's amenable to including this in the bill.
If I might, on page 4 of your amendment, you're doing mandatory helmets. This is the first time we're going to...
Oh, I was not aware.
Page 4.
Page 4.
So you're
four,
talking
line
about lines 25 to 30.
This is the first time we're putting mandatory helmets into law?
Good kid.
Not for underage.
No.
Representative Kahn.
We do have them for under 18 year old motorcyclists.
That's different.
For motorcycles. But at this time, do we require helmets for bicycle riders anywhere in statute?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it?
My understanding, Madam Chair, is it retains current law, but then it, but it would apply to the electric-assisted vehicles.
All right. Any questions on the A27 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A27 amendment say aye.
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 Opposed, nay.
No.
A27 amendment's adopted. What else do you... Oh, Representative Anderson, I believe the A34 amendment is yours.
It is, and Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A34 amendment.
Representative Anderson moves the A34 amendment.
Madam Chair and members, this language is just making a technical fix to a statute language that is already in place dealing with the donation checkoff on your driver's license and tabs and so forth. This does not increase costs or no fiscal impact whatsoever, and we're just trying to move this forward. It's in another piece of legislation, but we're just making sure that we have extra coverage. So that's all that this is.
All right, members, any questions on the A34 amendment? Representative Slawick.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, why is the fix needed? Can you just explain that?
Representative Anderson.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Slawick. If I remember correctly, I think that we had left off the tab piece in the original legislation. I think that's all that it is fixing. So.
All right. Any other questions? Representative Anderson renews her motion that the A34 amendment be adopted. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. A34 amendment is adopted. Representative Beard, I'm not sure if there's any other amendments that need to be...
Nothing I'm aware of, Madam Chair.
Representative Riccovino, there's always the floor, and then everybody can hear your great idea.
I've been trying to keep up, but both of us are wondering about at least one, maybe two amendments that are here.
I know the A33 is not going to be offered. Okay, I believe the 906 was similar to the A30.
Just in the wrong position.
And the 907 is not going to be offered as.
So they're withdrawn.
So I think as far as my cheat sheet goes, I think we're done. But somebody correct me if I'm wrong. All right, members, I think we have the bill in the shape the author would like to move it out of committee. Are there any additional questions for the bill author? I'm sorry, Representative Wagenius.
Yes, Representative Beard was going to explain the online, the implications for online driver's ed in this bill.
Representative Beard and Representative Biskins may want to weigh in as well.
Madam Chair, thank you. And for some clarification, the driver ed portions in this file actually are not online. They're, I think, alternative classroom components. And actually, it's Representative Bruce Anderson's bill. If Representative Bruce Anderson perhaps would like to clarify that or explain it a little further, it's not actually online. It allows concurrent training. Perhaps Mr. Anderson
and
to it.
Members, for simplicity's sake, it's House File 867. The next bill will
it's the next bill up, yes.
Separate bill. So if you
we can wait, but if it
well, it is contained also
in this
Representative
bill.
Beard's bill. So
okay,
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The 867. Bill, which will be coming up sooner, is contained in Representative Beard's bill right here. And basically, it deals with language that was gotten rid of back in 99, and we're reinstating it because a lot of the instructors that are doing driver's education are finding that their students are being told that they have to do 30 hours of classroom, and then they do their behind the wheel, and there's really no requirement for these individuals to show that they've learned something out of there. And so the education part of it, even though it's mandated that they have to do it, the way it's been characterized by the instructors is that we're finding people coming out of the instruction education part of learning how to drive has been diminished, so to speak. We've also taken money away from the national training or the training center that we have up in St. Cloud to educate people. I mean, it's still there, but as far as the education department, it's been quite diminished because we've taken money away from that part of public safety to deal with the situation. So basically what we're doing is we're asking students to do 15 hours in classroom, and with the amendment that I have coming forward, a DE amendment, is basically to say that after 15 hours of classroom instruction, they then will get a permit to go behind the wheel and do concurrent driving, meaning that they'll take some other classroom, some behind-the-wheel driving, and back and forth. This way we'll be meeting the national standards, training standards for driving, and plus hopefully meeting the concerns of driving instructors in the state of Minnesota as they see it today.
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
If I might, just a second. Mm-hmm. Representative Beard, I'm concerned and not certain. We're trying to figure this out, but Representative Anderson has a DE amendment for his bill. Mm-hmm. I'd like staff or somebody to confirm whether or not the language in your bill is reflects the language that he wants to amend onto his individual bill. So we're trying to sort that out. So,
well, Madam Chair.
Representative Beard.
My commitment to you is that if it needs to change, we'll do it on the floor in conference committee if the bill makes it that far.
Well, and if we can get an answer in the next 2 minutes we may be able to just use this amendment to throw it into the bill before it leaves here as well. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson, I'm education committee. We've been trying to get away from hours and seat time and more look at outcomes and how our students doing. And you mentioned with the 30 hours, students still may not know what they need to know. So I'm wondering how having 15 hours is going to help with that, and why aren't we looking at a whole new way, having some sort of measure to find out if they've accomplished what they're supposed to accomplish before we put them behind the wheel of a car. And you know, different students learn at different rates. Some might not need 15 hours even, and some might need more than 30. So why do we still have this archaic discussion of hours in this bill?
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Greiling, they still have to do 30 hours. That doesn't go away. We're just changing it so that they do 15 hours in the classroom, then they go to where they do 2 hours of classroom and 1 hour behind the wheel. 2 hours of classroom, 1 hour behind the wheel. So they're still going to get their 30 hours, but they then get behind the wheel on like almost being going into a job. You get on the work experience. Mm-hmm. This way you get your classroom plus 1 hour behind the wheel, so forth and so on. We had that prior to 1998 or 99, whichever it was, and the instructors at that time were seeing a much better results from their students after having taken the class. But because of one senator over in the other body decided that because there was competition that was going to drive his private driving school into a... Well, anyway, they changed the law. And so the driving instructors were happy up until that time. I hear from driving instructors, people who are in charge of our Minnesota driving education up in St. Cloud, saying that they see a diminished education component as students, all they have to do, all they're required, and there's no results. That's the problem, is there's nothing to show after 30 hours that there's a result, that they've been any better than if they had before. And so it's a concern of people who are doing this instructing, doing the education, that they want to see students have a combination of both. Not that they're going to get rid of it, but we do a combination of behind doing just like on the job training that I think would be helpful for me going into a new job. I'd like to have some people helping me to do that. So,
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson, that was very helpful, and I will support your bill. It sounds much better than having all the book learning and then you go to try to do it. I think that's what we should do more of in all of our education areas. You know, what you learn on in the classroom and then you go out to try to do it are sometimes two different things, and then it engenders a lot of new questions when you've actually tried to do it, and that's when you don't always get the help that you need. So I support your bill, but I still would urge you in the future to look at some sort of outcome measurement so that it's not just hours put in, but actual attainment of the learning.
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Riley, I asked the instructors about this because they were bringing it forward. I said, does DPS have any kind of, well, they've never had anything to show that there's results or statistics to show that there's an outcome. And I said, well, maybe that would be something that you would suggest or come forward with some kind of, I mean, other than the test, because if you've taken the test five times, maybe hopefully you've passed it the fifth time. Yeah. But, I mean, to get some kind of a results-based or outcome, as you said, they said, let us go back and see if we can work this out. So,
thank you.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Beard, is there anything in this bill dealing with online learning?
Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, no.
Thank you.
Representative Slawick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think there's probably be a Representative Anderson. So I have a new driver who has taken the course, right, from the driving school and now has passed the test. And now is what they do is they learn with their parents. So we're helping her learn to drive. And then she gets the behind the wheel because it's hard to schedule it. So we haven't been able to schedule it yet. In this case, when do they take the test then? So you're suggesting they take some hours and then don't have to take a test before they can get out on the roads? Or when is the test given?
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, Representative Slawick, they take 15 hours of classroom instruction. That's part of the 30 hours that they have to. Then with the bill that I have coming forward with the DE amendment is they will alternate 2 hours of classroom to 1 hour of behind the wheel. 2 hours of classroom, 1 hour behind the wheel. Then they'll take their test at the end based on the 30 hours that they've had.
Representative Slawick.
Just a comment. I just think we should think about this. I mean, to these young people, the big thing is the test. I mean, they're all going to the classes. They're doing it together. It is the big talk of the freshmen and sophomores in high school. So they're going to be out on the roads having not taken the test and not completed the training. I think we should think about that. It's good to learn concurrently, but if you haven't gotten all the way through the course, yet you're out on the roads, I mean...
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative Slawick. Representative Slawick, does your student have his license when he's with you, or she's with you when she's out on the road as far as you're trying to help them get along? They're trying to do behind the wheel with your suggestions and your help as they're taking the 30 hours of instruction. So it's basically you're helping and the instructor is helping along with that. So it's a combination of both to try and get this. It's hopefully not burdening any more than what is being done in the law. It's just we're trying to make it so that it's successfully completed, meaning that that student has a grasp of what he's actually doing with concurrent, behind the wheel, along with 2 hours of instruction prior to him actually or her actually going to the car and going out there with an experienced driver's education instructor, trainer, educator.
Just my last comment would be just that I understand the idea and I understand experiential learning and I also teach, so I understand that part of it, but the fact that they don't have to pass any kind of test to get out, they'll actually be on the road. We don't know if they've absorbed the information or not. Is worrisome to me.
Representative Anderson.
Well, Madam Chair, from what the instructors gave me, and I can only go from what they tell me, that even after 30 hours of instruction, they find that when young people or old people get behind the wheel, they still haven't grasped what was in this book or deal. When they get on the road, they're going, asking questions, and all of a sudden you're going, What did I give 30 hours of instruction for? Now I'm trying to explain to you what you're supposed to do and learn back in the classroom. So it's you get kind of both ways, and I think that Representative Gryling says every student, every person behind the wheel has a different doing way of learning things, and so some catch it fast, some take time to catch it.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
That's enough, Madam
Chair. All right, members, with advice from our always ready professional staff here, what we would need to do to fix this issue in the most efficient way possible, which that's the way I like. Representative Beard, what we're going to do is we're going to temporarily table your bill. So would you, I'll just move that. And then Representative Anderson, if you would move your bill.
Madam Chair.
Representative Beard.
May I ask you just to temporarily lay it over?
Yep, that's Thanks. Just what we're going to do. We've done that. Representative Anderson, would you please move your bill?
Madam Madam Chair, I move House File 867 to be moved to the General Register, but I'd like to also move a DE amendment to
go along
with
it. All right, members, what we need to do is take up the Anderson bill, put the DE1 on it. Once that's done, then we can use that as a amend that onto the Beard bill as well. So, members, we now are on the Anderson House File 867 and the A12-0834 amendment, which is a delete all.
Madam Chair,
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Burroughs just mentioned that on page 2 of the A12-0834 amendment, there's a technical on page 2, line 19.
Okay, members, we are working off of the House Hall 837 amendment, page 2.
And the amendment that's going on is the A12-0834 amendment on the back page on line 2, 19. After the word item in parentheses double I, we need to insert comma sub item B.
You want to incorporate that into your amendment?
I will, Madam Chair.
All right. Any questions, members?
I know.
All right. All those in favor of the A12-0834 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. Representative Anderson, any questions by committee members?
Madam Chair, what we did was to give you a background. The 867, as it comes to committee, has fees and some costs that, if you look on the fiscal note, these, along talking with the instructors, we've been able to alleviate those, and so the cost has been minimized for the Department of Public Safety, and we're hoping that that will be to the benefit and to the agreement of the members and make it much more, much less burdensome financially.
All right. And Ms. Novak, I was informed that we were supposed to amend this and pass it out. Can we still then move, even though we've passed it out, move the language from that onto the Beard bill?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
All right. So if you would then renew your motion that your bill as amended, you recommended pass and refer to the General Register.
Madam Chair, I move the House File 867 as amended be recommended to pass and be passed to the General Register.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Now we will take back up Representative Beard's House File 2685. The next thing we would want to do is have Representative Anderson move the language from House File 867 as amended to be included in House File 2685.
Madam Chair, I move that House File 867 as amended be amended onto House File 2685.
As amended.
Madam Chair, I believe we first want to delete on pages 42 and 43 of House File 2685, Sections 50 and 51.
I bet Representative Beard would love to move that.
I would love to move that. Say, it's on pages 42 to 44, members, if you're looking for page numbers. And yes, I'd move with it.
The reason we're doing that is that is the old Bruce Anderson language.
Yes.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Now, Representative Anderson will move.
Madam Chair, I move 867 as amended be passed and move amended on to House File 2685.
All right. Members, we're now inserting the amended Bruce Anderson bill into the Beard bill. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. I'm sorry, Representative
Slavik. Madam Chair, we were moving awfully quick there.
Yeah,
and
we are.
And I've been a chair before, but we inserted the bill, so the bill is no longer traveling separately.
No,
Ms. Novak.
Madam Chair, we inserted the language of the bill into House File 2685. The actual bill is traveling to the General Register.
Keep the parallel. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any additional questions? Representative Hornstein.
You're talking about to the bill, not the driver ed.
That would be correct.
Okay. Yes, just a couple quick questions for the chair.
Certainly.
On page 52, and this would be section 63, this relates to funding allocation for the Met Council. Is the net effect, Chair Beard, of this to move some money from the Met Council to the opt-outs? Is that
Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, Representative Hornstein, yes, it is exactly that. In the second year of the biennium, because of the dramatically increased the MVEST revenue receipts into the transit fund, we're asking Met Council to move a small portion of that back to the opt-outs in the second year. It's a discussion I wish to have on the floor of the House.
Okay.
And
we'll have that discussion. And I just wanted the committee to know that I believe this is a little different from the budget agreement that took place last summer in the shutdown. So, you know, we're kind of going a little bit beyond that, and I think it's a concern, and I welcome that conversation.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the inserted language, so I don't know if it's Representative Beard or Representative Anderson. What happened to the fiscal note? Can you just clarify that? We have fiscal notes, and then sometimes they stick, and they kind of said it went away.
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative Slawek, I didn't say it went away. I just said it diminished because there were fees in there to go to public safety. That was a request. And we worked it out with the partnership of the instructors and Department of Public Safety and said that this will be taken care of without these fees and stuff inside of the and work it out to bring forth the language as it had been previously in law back in 1999.
If we could,
so
Madam Chair,
when Representative Anderson and the advocates came to me, I said if we already were doing this and we're just going because they had rulemaking and all this cumbersome stuff, and it was like, really, we have to reinvent what we already were doing for decades? That made no sense. So we kind of pushed a little bit, and Representative Anderson worked with Public Safety and DVS, actually. And
yeah, DVS.
Because Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, again, you know, when there's fiscal notes, when we go and push a little bit, it doesn't always just happen like that. I see there's now a card for partial completion, a card for completion of the 30 hours, a card for completion of 1 hour behind the wheel. You know, before there was a permit. And these kids, I mean, this is the thing, is getting their permit, and we all know that. And so now there's four different cards you have to get. Did that change?
That's changed.
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, that Representative Slavik, that's changed, and we've worked it out with the partners to deal with it. Passed in the Senate unanimously, and it's going to the Finance Committee right now. So all, from what I understand, the things have been okay.
And Representative Slavik, when we get an updated fiscal note on this, we'll make sure you get a copy of it, and we won't bring it up on the floor until we have
I'd appreciate
fiscal note on the bill as amended.
Yeah, bills moving is one thing. Bills saying, you know, they're okay is fine, and we're moving a lot right now, but they're not always okay. So I would like to see that.
We're certainly going to make sure that happens. All right, any additional questions or concerns? Representative Hornstein.
Thank you. Just very quickly, Madam Chair, just in addition to my concern about the Met Council provisions, we have some motor vehicle weight issues here that are opposed by, you know, the counties and State Patrol and AAA. We have a MNLARS expenditure prohibition, which is opposed by the Department of Public Safety. And we also have contingency appropriation. We had a whole long conversation on the floor about that the other day, which I have some concerns about as well. So there's some good provisions in the bill, and I appreciate all the hard work Representative Beard has done on this. But unlike policy bill number one, there's a little bit more controversy in this one, and I'd urge a no vote for that reason.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Any additional questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say I'm sorry, Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, I'd like to renew my motion 2685 as amended be recommended pass the General Register. Thank you.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Representative Beard.
Appreciate your good committee work, Madam Chair.
The committee is in recess to the call of the chair. I have no clue how long the floor session is going to last. I recognize that it is Friday. I'll try and reconvene as close to the time that we adjourn as possible. And members, I make sure that your green folders for the remaining bills, Goldberg, Cornish.
Just bad. Bad to let the recess.
Put those back in your brown folders, please. So you'll have those for this afternoon. With that, we're in recess. And a call to order the Ways and Means Committee hearing. We're going to start with Representative Cornish and members. There should be an A9 amendment that will be distributed. You'll see that that amendment is actually written to House File 2967, which is the forecast bill. But what we really want to do is amend this language onto House File 2860 and move that separately, and then we'll also put the amended bill on my bill as well. Representative Cornish, if you want to explain your bill as it started, and then I'll explain the A9 amendment.
Thank you. Madam Chair and members, House File 2860 with this amendment will be intended to remedy a problem that back years ago on our homeowner insurance, a percentage was collected from the insurance companies and set into a fire safety account. And it's kind of a little bit of a complicated procedure where DPS is involved in fire advisory board, and this money is put into an account where it's applied for to come out on grants after it's approved by the board. The problem is that we've been dipping into it to help solve a budget problem. So there were some people that thought that the original percentage passed years ago was too high, so this is kind of a compromise to back off on the percentages collected, but issue out the $4.5 million that's presently in the fire safety account for grants. So that's hopefully what this, and then maybe put this to bed for a while here and come to some resolution of the problem of trading back and forth and budget problems.
All right. Members, there's supposed to be a spreadsheet, too, that was supposed to be distributed, so we're looking for that. But I'll go through the A9 amendment, but first I just want to give a little background. Many of you that have been here for a while know over the years, both sides have done it. We have taken money that was raised under this program and transferred it to the general fund for general fund uses. I worked with Mr. Walls from the fiscal department and asked him over the years what the correct tax rate should have been had we only taxed at the rate in which we were appropriating the money to the purpose that it was supposed to be used for fire safety. And the highest rate that it should have been was 0.039, and so at the 6.5%, in most years, more than half of the money never made it to the firefighters, and it's something that's bothered me for a long time. So as we were talking about taking this $4.5 million of reserves and giving it to its original use, I said, let's just fix this. This is wrong. The taxpayers are paying this money. The firefighters aren't getting it. It's a fight every year. I don't know about any of you, but I really hate it when the guys in the red polo shirts come visit me in my office and are irritated at us because they're not getting their money, and we fight about it. So my purpose with this amendment is to, number one, give them the money that's sitting in the reserve, reduce the tax rate starting in July of 2013 down to 0.5%, and then have it divided 45% to the state marshal's office, 55% to the grant program, which is already in place, that has accountability measures. There's a board that decides how the money is distributed. There's a report to the legislature associated with that, and so then the money would just flow to those uses unless the legislature would change it. In addition, many of you are aware of the, you can see on, pages 1 and 2, section 1 of the A9 amendment, we have this long laundry list of how, if there's additional money, who gets paid back, whether it's the shift, the airports fund, and then the fire safety account. So the probability of them getting their money, maybe, you know, who knows if they ever would. So we're taking that out of that process. And in other words, I call it stopping the game. Let's just tax at a rate that's reasonable. Let the firefighters have all the money. In the out years, there were ongoing transfers to the general fund. We're also ending those, so there there is a tails issue with this as well. Maybe the spreadsheet shows that, but from my perspective, and I had the opportunity to talk to Representative Lincheski and Representative Mary Murphy and Representative Carlson about this, and Representative Smith, who helped put this program in the first place. There has been unanimous support. Ms. Munyon, if you'd like to come to the table, give a little background, and testify on the A9 amendment for the groups that you represent, I would appreciate that as well. Welcome to the committee. If you'll state your name for the record, please.
Sherry Munyon, and I represent several fire service organizations and the Fire Chiefs Association of Minnesota, the state fire departments, the arson investigators, the Fire Marshals Association. Also with me today is Brian Rice, who represents the Minnesota Professional Firefighters Association. All of our organizations support the bill with the amendment on it. We're very pleased to work with the legislature and to dedicate this money for the original purpose intended. There are numerous unmet needs, and firefighters have recruitment and retention issues that they've been facing for the last several years. This will be very helpful in your local communities.
And if I might, just for the record, you're also in support of the reduction of the tax rate?
Madam Chairman, members, yes, we support the reduction of the fare and the elimination of that future transfer or payback.
All right, members, are there any questions? Representative Kahn.
Well, Madam Chairman, there's a new word here, surcharge. Is that a tax or a fee?
Really? You really want to go there at 5 o'clock on Friday?
No, but I think with all of the discussion that we've had today, I think this bill clearly needs to go to the Tax Committee from here. I don't think it's come from the Tax Committee, unless it did.
Well, Representative Kahn, I am so sad that Representative Lincheski is not here, as I actually took some time with her on the floor today and gave her a heads up and said that I was not in the mood for a fight about whether or not this bill, if amended with this,
probably why she decided not to show up,
would have to go to the Tax Committee, that I wasn't going to fight her on it. She said she would not move this to the Tax Committee, and so I think Representative Davis.
Madam Chair, if the motion was to move to Tax Committee, I would not accept it.
Well, Representative Kahn.
All I'm doing is using this as another example to point out the abuse of the system, the how we use words that we don't mean them, and then you have a vote and everyone says that they do mean something. Now, you know, my vote was, although surcharge wasn't, if I had known this was coming, I would have added surcharge into the language. That's a new piece of terminology that maybe we should start seeing in places, and I guess I'll get out the thesaurus and see what other words we can do to put in. But I just don't understand how anyone sitting on this committee who voted the way they voted today cannot then vote to send this to the Tax Committee. So,
Mr. Rice, if you'd like to state your name for the record, you seem to be kind of chomping at the bit here.
Madam Chairman, Brian Rice, representing the Minnesota Professional Firefighters. First, we'd really like to compliment you for getting a solution to a problem that's been going on for 6 years. This legislation was signed by Governor Pawlenty. It met his test, and I would, as a surcharge rather than a tax, and I would urge the committee members on both sides of the aisle to do this. It's a six-year-old problem. The firefighters in the state have not had money that they expected. The solution that you've crafted, is an excellent one. It's going to provide money in all of your communities to make the community safer for firefighting. We rank 47th in per capita in what you spend in firefighting in the country, one of the lowest around. These people go out every day to put themselves at risk to protect life and property. It's a very, very good solution that you've come up with, Madam Chairman and Chairwoman, and it's just excellent legislation, and I would encourage members to vote for this. It's a solution that's as good as we're going to get, and it does some really good things in getting money out to communities, and it lowers a burden on every homeowner in the state.
Representative Reinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This question is for any of the three here, but Representative Cornish did mention in his introduction of the bill that dollars for safety training would be one of the things addressed here. My question is, because we have met with the firefighters, volunteer groups in our areas, does this address their concerns over adequate funding for their retirement accounts?
Okay.
Ms. Munyon.
Madam Chair, members, this does not deal with retirement accounts in any way.
Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, just to reinforce what you said earlier, that you had talked with several of us. In fact, I think we talked two or three times today about this, and I'd like to compliment you on reaching out and letting us know the purpose of what you were doing, and as you did indicate, the people that are impacted are supportive of the bill, as we've just heard the testimony, so I would encourage a yes vote as well.
All right, and I don't know if the department wants to speak. I'm sorry, Mr. Jordahl, did you want to add anything to the discussion? We had a conversation earlier this afternoon. I think at best we're neutral, but
Madam,
to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm Jared Jordahl, Legislative Director for the Department of Public Safety. We have no problems with this legislation as amended.
All right. Any questions for the department, Mr. Jordahl? All right. Thank you very much. Members, any additional questions before I renew my motion?
Well,
all right,
Ms.
I will. I do have to amend the A1 amendment on line 1, delete 2967 and insert 2860. Line 2, it would actually read page 1 after line 3, insert. Any questions? We're just tailoring that to the existing bill. All right. Any questions? All right. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. A9 amendment is adopted. Representative Cornish, any final words?
No, I think they've well said enough. Thank you for your help on it. Representative Holberg, you did more lifting than I did on this one, I think. Thank you, and thank you, members.
All right. Representative Kahn.
Just for the record, can we have an understanding that any bill that's crafted like this in the near and far future will never have to go to the tax committee?
Representative Kahn, don't push your luck. I think in my conversation with Representative Lencheski and Chair Davids today, I mean, I just ask, given the time frame where we are in session, in a normal situation, by all rights, this probably should have went to the tax committee, and part of the reason that this is so late is just a function of how busy we've been in the last week, and I apologize and take responsibility for that. So any other questions? All right, Representative Cornish, I will move that House File 2860 as amended be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. Thank you very much. I'm sorry that you were here at 8 a.m. this morning. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
All right, members, the next item on our agenda is we have to move to reconsider the Beard Bill from this morning, which is House File 2685. It's been brought to our attention that the Bruce Anderson on integrated, I'm probably not using the right term, the integrated behind the wheel program is problematic for the department, so I did not sign the committee report. And what I want to do is move that we would remove the amendment that placed the Bruce Anderson House File 867 as amended onto the Beard bill. And so what the net effect of that would be is that there would be no version of the integrated driver ed training program in the Beard bill as it leaves this committee. Representative Anderson's bill did leave the committee, but in a form that is not supported by the administration. He has committed to try and working out a resolution on this issue. If he's able to do so prior to the Beard bill being heard on the floor, we would entertain an amendment at that time to put it back into the omnibus bill. So are there any questions? All right. So, I will move again to remove House File 867 as amended from.
Madam Chair.
Representative Beard.
Do we have to reconsider 2685 first to get in front of the committee, or can we just declare it?
I didn't think we needed a vote on that in committee.
It's a question for me. I'm not sure.
Your staff is nodding. Your legal people.
Ms. Novak.
We did pass it, yeah. So we would have
Madam
to reconsider.
Chair, I believe you have to.
Okay, speak. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get us out of here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, members, let's move to reconsider
2685.
House File 2685. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Fails. Next, I'd move that to remove House File 867 as amended from. House File 2685. Any questions?
Madam Chair, I'm in support of that motion.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative Beard, would you like to remove your bill as amended to the General Register?
Ma'am, Madam Chair, yes. 2685 as amended and unamended and reamended to be passed and referred to the General Register.
Any
That's
questions?
My motion.
Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay, the next item on the agenda would be Representative House. House File 1752.
Mediocre.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd like to move your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move House File 1752, recommended to pass and send it to the General Register.
All right. And members, there is a DE1 amendment in addition to a spreadsheet in your packet. I'm assuming you'd like to move the DE1 amendment to get the bill in the shape you'd like to discuss.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move the DE1 amendment.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The DE1 amendment is amended.
Thank you, Madam
adopted.
Chair. Madam Chair and members, this is a bonding bill. University of Minnesota, $30 million in Heber. Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, $30 million in Heber. Natural Resources has got $30 million. I'll go back to that as to what that was for. I think it was floods. Admin, $221 million. That's for the capital restoration. Transportation, $102.5 million. And Public Facilities Authority, $20 million. And we get down on the on your front page where it has a total of $433.9 million. And the next two lines I would like Ms. Dyson to explain because I'm not quite sure how that works.
Ms. Dyson, welcome to the committee. If you'll state your name for the record.
Madam Chair, Deb Dyson from House Research, and the line that Representative House is referring to where it says State Transportation Fund.
Correct.
That's just the normal fund. It's general obligation bonds. It's just how the statute is set up for bonding for local roads and bridges and the local road improvement program. It goes through a fund that's set up within the bond proceeds account. That's all.
All right. Thank you. Representative House.
And Madam Chair, the DNR was the $30 million DNR was floods.
All right. Members, are there any questions or comments on the DE1? Representative Carlson.
Yeah. Madam Chair, to the author, you know, when the two bills dealing with the capital and the bonding bill left your committee, you implied that things would get better as we went through the process, because some of us were raising questions about the level of bonding that was being provided. And here today with this amendment, we're taking a step backwards. Originally, if you combined the capital and the bonding bill, you were at $501 million. Now with this bill, and the capital is included at the full 121, we're at $433.9 million. So greatly below where it was when it left your committee. And if you'll recall, I told you that I'm one that does not like voting against the bonding bill, and I passed in your committee along with a couple of other people, and quite frankly, when we did that, that enabled the bill to move out. But with the feeling by your comments that things would get better, and that simply hasn't happened. So the question is, what road are we on here? You know, instead of, at least from my perspective, improving, moving more toward the higher level of bonding that I've advocated for both in your committee and on the House floor, we're going the other way. So what, if you could explain, at least first of all, what you see down the road, what's going to happen with bonding with this kind of a level of funding?
Representative House.
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Carlson, you've had many more years here than I have. You know that in order to, let's say, improve a bill or make it larger, we don't do that on the floor. We have certain constraints. It may happen in a conference committee when a global agreement is reached with the governor and leadership from both bodies. But it's never done on the floor unless it's a special session and we have a solid bill put together during special session. In order for any bill to look any different, it has to get to a conference committee. I've said that all along. I've always used the terminology is I can't dance until you get me to the dance. So far, I haven't been allowed to get there because of a lack of votes. I'm not going to sit here and promise you, nor will I do it on the floor, that if you send this bill to conference, I'll get you a bigger bill. I can't make that promise. All I can say is get me to conference committee so I have a chance to do something. Because right now I have no chance. And this also, I was told or mentioned on the floor yesterday that the bill wasn't discussed with any of the Democrats, which I believe is wrong. It was. And there were too many projects that might be Republican projects. So I wanted to take all of that out of the picture, and I think I've made this as vanilla as I can. Now, you could say Representative Lanning and Representative Eakin have stuff in here because it says floods. So if you'd like me to change the word flood to something else so it doesn't appear that they have something in here, I can do that. And I am getting a little sarcastic right now. I understand that because I'm tired and I have a convention 3.5 hours away. But I need to get to the dance. The only way we can do that is to pass it and send it to conference.
Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, I understand what you're saying about the difficulty with writing the bonding bill on the House floor, although through the years I've seen some interesting things happen. But we're still in committee. And we have an amendment now that's come forward that is below what it was when it originally left your committee. And so now we have a major amendment on a vehicle bill that I'm quite frankly not arguing about what you have in the bill. I'm arguing about what it's lacking. And in fact, taking a look at it today, some of the areas where the bill falls short, corrections and public safety, if you remember the tour of the St. Cloud prison, there was security issues. The Shakopee prison, there was the security issue there, the defense issue. The St. Peter Security Hospital, the sex offender program building, an area of transportation and transit, nothing here as well, the Southwest Light Rail, the ports, various transit programs. Deed is not, the transportation for Deed is not in. We're not addressing clean water. Housing, we're below where we were when the bill left committee. And in higher ed, yes, you are providing for the HEAPER, or the repair and betterment, as I prefer sometimes to call it, at $30 million for each of the systems, but none of the other projects that both the university and Minsky came forward with as being high priority by their boards are in the bill. So it's the more the question is more what it's lacking. And when we look at the forecasted numbers for debt service, the dollars are there for a bigger bill. And you really, I think, put people probably in both caucuses on this committee in a difficult situation when you come in with a bonding bill that is this small that doesn't address many of the issues that that I outlined here. And some of us have indicated they should. And then in reading the bill, I found lines 18.19 through 18.32 dealing with the city of Norwood and some infrastructure improvements. That's all language that was not in the bill at all when it left your committee, if I recall. So we have not only a bill that went back, but we've got, and that's providing $500,000, a bill that has a new project that was not part of your committee. Now, if you talk to some people on my side the aisle about it, I certainly didn't know about it, and fortunately the amendment was posted early enough so we could begin to read it and look it over. So those are just some of the concerns that that I have about the bill, and maybe others on the committee would like to comment, but my overriding concern is that we move backward rather than at least holding even. And that's what makes me wonder what kind of road we're on. I mean, if you're trying to position an even tighter bonding bill for the Senate, I just don't understand what's happening here this afternoon, this evening, I guess. But if you'd care to respond, I'd appreciate it. Otherwise, I'll just yield to others that have questions at this point.
Representative
House. Madam Chair, Representative Carlson, had we passed the bill yesterday, I would could assure you that we would have brought up the other $280 million bill today on the House floor, and we would have passed that. That way, we have two in conference committee. We're at the $500 million that I said in committee we would be, and we could go from there. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Didn't get to the dance. Nothing I can do about it. I have to try again. I'm trying again in this fashion simply to broaden the scope of the first bill.
Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, that makes it sounds like there's some form of payback taking place here. Our caucus provided the necessary votes along with your caucus to pass it, and you did hit 80, which was one vote short, but we did put, I think, 10 votes on the board, which with your folks lining up for the bill, had they all voted for it, would have hit the 81, and it would have passed. So, you know, to make it sound like then tonight here is payback because you weren't able to pass a bonding bill even though we gave you the necessary votes, and now we have a smaller bonding bill is just really not the way to govern or approach the issue.
Madam Chair.
Representative House.
Thank you. Representative Carlson. Number one, I'm not the kind of a person that would do a payback. By no means is this a payback. I'm offended that you would even consider it.
This bill is simply a little bit larger with a lot of other things in it that are not local projects. It's hopefully, maybe we could get this to a conference committee, and I still have the $280 million bill that's more defined. Maybe I'd have to make that smaller, but at least that's my intention. But I can't do anything about it until I get there.
Well, Madam Chair, if you're offended by the way I said payback, then I'll apologize for that. But the way you said that, if that other bill had passed, then we would have had a larger bill up in the today, and you'd have had two bills in conference committee. That made it sound like the reason we had a smaller bill here today was for that reason. And if that's not the case, I'm glad that you're correcting the record, and I'm happy to accept your correcting of the record then if that's not a form of payback. I'll accept your point of view on that.
Madam Chair, I'll just make it real quick. I've said it all along. We have two bills, 220, 280. I've said that ad nauseum. I'm sorry if people haven't heard me, if they hadn't read it in the paper, heard it on the radio. Everyone knew there was another bill coming.
Well, Madam Chair, but we're not at the 501 now. And you still have the capital in here. So you got the capital at 221, and the bill is smaller. That's the point I'm trying to make. You and I both know that it was at 501. We've had those discussions on the floor. We had those discussions in committee when you combined the two bills. But now we're at, what is the final number here? 433.9. So greatly below where you were originally. But I'll stop there.
All right, Representative Kahn.
Well, Madam Chairman, first of all, I have an amendment to the bill. It's a real amendment.
We could have pages pass out Representative Kahn's amendment, please.
And I've listened to all of the discussion we've had now, mainly from Representative Howes, and I found it really difficult to understand. If he listened to a lot of the discussion on the floor of the House yesterday, and people who just completely think the Capitol is one of the most important things in the state and were very unhappy to vote against it, but the issue was that the bonding bill should not be done in pieces, that it should be done in one bill, and many people who voted against it said distinctly that the problem was that the bill was too large, but really that it was too small, and we wanted a more comprehensive piece, and we wanted to have everything in one bonding bill so that we would look at everything at once. When I listened to what Representative Howes said, one of the things he said was that people complained about the balance of metro and non-metro projects, and that he apparently approached, I hope I didn't mishear this, he approached that balance by taking out some non-metro projects. Well, there's, you know, as people know, my district has the University of Minnesota, and I put in a bill that did the whole University of Minnesota's capital request, which of course is nowhere very, very different than what's here. And anyone who knows my history knows that the item that I would have been most concerned of, not only because of my legislative history with this item, but it's actually practically in my neighborhood and it's on my running route, and that's the combined heat and power plant to turn that away from coal and go to natural gas and finally shut down this thing, which never should have been opened close to 20 years ago. But you know, clearly to try and put that back in, or to put some part of that back in, it's hard to know what would make sense to get a start on doing that. But there's one little project here, and this looks as if it's not in the metropolitan area. It looks like it's not in my district. It's the Itasca Biological Station and the Itasca Facilities Improvement. And it's a very small proportion of what this total bonding bill is. And this has You know, again, I have a lot of sympathy for this for a couple of reasons. One, because I actually started, even though I switched pretty quickly, I started my life as a biology major in college. I also spent just about every summer of my childhood at the East Coast equivalent of the Itasca facility, the Marine Biological Laboratories in Woods Hole, Massachusetts on Cape Cod. And I knew how important that was as a facility for both students, because it was really important to me because my parents met there as students. But and I knew how important it was for people who were in an intense technical field to have some ability to really get to understand what it means in real life. I met with students from the College of Biological Sciences while they were doing this, and I understand that the College of Biological Sciences has a terrific program where all of the first-year students in biology start, I think it's the first-year students, start out by going to a program of some duration at the Itasca Center, which is really good in terms of getting them to work for it. So this is very far from my district. It obviously relates to what people in my district do. It was in every bill that I had seen before this. This is the first time I've seen it not in. And so I just think it's appalling that this was taken out. And so I'm making the motion to put it back in. I think, as I said, it's a very small amount. I think it's very important, not only to the part of the state where it's located, but it's very important to the teaching of biology at the university. And I don't want to just have this be a bargaining chip later on. I'd like to have it leave the house with this in it. And I don't think it's... We don't know what the balance of this is supposed to be. It certainly doesn't put the bill out of balance because we have plenty of, there's plenty of bonding capacity left. And this is something I think it's really important to get started on. So
I thank you, Representative Kahn. Representative Kahn moves the A1 amendment. Representative House.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kahn, I like the project a lot. That's why I put it in the other bill. It's in the other bill. Get me to the dance and we'll talk about it. I oppose the amendment today.
All right. Representative Kahn.
I think I want a roll call vote on this. I usually don't do that in this committee, but this is it's such a small amount, and it's so important for the concept of basic education, and also so important for that part of the state to get this university facility going there. So I really think we ought to put it in. And if someone could suggest something, I'm willing to... You know, I'm not familiar enough about the bill. If for some reason the number is important to take, I'd be willing to find something to take out of it. But I'd rather, you know, with this, I didn't want to mess around with the bill like this. So, but at this point, I think we could add this very small percentage to the bill.
It's 4 million.
If I could ask the pages to go down to room number 5. And ask the members that are down there in conference committee, that are on the Ways and Means Committee, if they'd like to come back for a roll call vote so they can make a choice whether or not to do that, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Any questions on the A1 amendment? Representative McNamara.
Well, I'm wondering, Madam Chair, so that we know what we're voting on, Representative Howes, do you know what the Itasca Biological Station is?
Representative House.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative McNamara, it is a school, and they mainly, well, to put it, the brief Reader's Digest version, a lot of young folks, probably between 18 and 23, before they go and learn biology at the university, they spend the summer up at Itasca State Park. There's a facility there where they learn all about all the biology you can learn about in the woods, the dirt, the leaves, the plants, very intense learning. Similar to the Conservation Corps, too. And there's dormitories there, and that's what they do, and then they move on to the university.
Representative Nornes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to add, it's actually replacing some old facilities. that have been there for a long time. So it's basically an upgrade of the facility. It doesn't add anything, I don't believe, just replaces what's there. And, Madam Chair, I also believe it's important, but I think that as we go down the road, we all have a project we'd like to insert, and I think this would potentially drag out our meeting for a long time. So I right at this point, would oppose the amendment.
Any other questions? All right, members, I want to hear back from the page. I don't want members to miss a roll call vote. Representative
Well, thank you, Chair, for looking to buy some time. I guess I do have a question of Representative Kahn, and it'd be a question I'd have of Representative Hawes at the same time. In looking at the governor's recommendations for HEPRA at the University of Minnesota, he recommends $30 million. I see that both Representative Hawes and you, Representative Kahn, the governor recommends $20 million, but you have both recommended $30 million. Can you explain to this committee why $10 million more than what the governor recommended? What are the needs out there that are 50% higher than what the governor thought were the HEPRA needs?
Well, Representative Kahn.
Madam Chairman and Representative Biskins, I don't have the university's initial request from this, but we've cut all of the HEPRA requests way down, and that is, I think, one of the most cost-effective things. And this, in a sense, this is almost, you know, it's big enough so it's kept separate from the rest of the HEPR requests, but this is almost the same kind of thing. One of the things, when you attend to HEPR, you save a lot of money in the future. It's the most cost-effective way we can spend money. For example, to stop leaking roofs before the building inside is ruined and before you have emergency expenditures for it. But I don't remember what the university's initial request was, but you know, the university was not satisfied with the governor's recommendations for what they had, and it was not. But this one, you know, this project really stands out as something for when we want to take the state, we want to move the intellectual basis of the state forward, and we want to do it on the things that it's really important for us to do, i.e. woods, nature, biology, and so forth. This one just sticks out in my mind as something. And, you know, the surprise of seeing it disappear when it had been in every other request before that. And as I said, listening to Representative Howes, what he said just didn't make sense. Because all the complaints on the House floor that I heard was that the bill wasn't big enough and inclusive enough to come back with a smaller, less inclusive bill and saying that that's because we didn't pass the smallest, least inclusive bill. Just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry, I'm having a lot of trouble with people's words today, obviously.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I know the Representative House might weigh in, and hopefully does, at least on the House floor. I know we have members here that are in conference committee. They just got here to vote, and so I'll allow them to vote. But it does strike me, Representative Kahn, that even if you would have kept the University of Minnesota allocation in the House bill at a total of $30 million, you still would have put $6 million more in HEPR than what the governor did for the University of Minnesota. But that's fine. We can have that discussion later.
All right. Representative Kahn.
Chair, I just don't take my orders from the governor.
Representative Kahn, I don't either.
No.
Representative Howes, did you want to?
Well, Madam Chair, I'm just going to say again that I oppose the amendment. I like the project. That's why I put it in our bill before, but the bill you have before you now is everything in here is statewide. It's not local, and I want to keep it that way.
Well, Representative Kahn,
This is clearly a statewide project. Of course, it has a location somewhere, but it deals with a statewide institution, statewide students. We clearly have things. You know, how do you explain? Someone else asked about that Norwood Young America one. If anything looks not. Not that I want to say anything against that, because I have no idea what it is. But there are lots of things that aren't you know, there's a whole trail, every trails project has a specific location. I mean, things that have state, this has a statewide impact. It's at a major state university. I would guess that students from all over the state are at that. The students who certainly came into my office were from all over the and to talking about the importance of this project were from all over the state. So I don't think this is, you know, as I said, there are things that were much more local to me that I might have wanted to put into it. But this one I think is not, this one I just think just should not have come out. And it's my only chance to correct it at this time. So I would like to make an attempt to correct it.
Representative Carlson, did you have a comment to the con amendment?
I suppose I could just whisper the answer to my colleague next to me, but he did ask what the request was. And I think the HEPA request for the university was something like $110 million and Minsky was $100. I might have those flipped around, but they were both in that general area. So the $30 million, even though that is, as Representative Biskins pointed out, an improvement, still is far short of what the university and Minsky both indicated they needed.
All right. Representative Kahn renews her motion that the A1 amendment is adopted. She's asked for a roll call vote. Mr. Smith will take the roll.
Representative Holberg.
No.
Representative Downey. Representative Carlson.
Yes.
Representative Abler.
Oh, no.
Representative Bruce Anderson.
No.
Representative Sarah Anderson.
No.
Representative Beard.
Nay.
Representative Reinert.
Yes.
Representative Biskins.
No.
Representative Champion.
Yes.
Representative Davids.
No.
Representative Eakin.
Yes.
Representative Garofalo.
No.
Representative Gottwald.
No.
Representative Greiling.
Yes.
Representative Gunther.
No.
Representative Hackbarth.
No.
Representative Hamilton.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
Yes.
Representative House.
No.
Representative Huntley.
Yes.
Representative Kahn.
Yes.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
No.
Representative Lanning.
No.
Representative Lincheski.
Yes.
Representative McNamara.
No.
Representative Nornitz.
No.
Representative Pawlowski. Representative Rukavina. Representative Slawik. Representative Smith.
No.
Representative Wagenius. Representative Westrom.
No.
With 9 yeses and 19 noes, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Representative Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The representative, I heard Representative Kahn ask you a question as it pertained to the Norwood Young America appropriation, which is at 18.19. all the way to 18.32. So if you can talk a little more about that, and specifically, it appears that starting at 18.26, it says this appropriation is not available until the commissioner has determined that at least an equal amount has been committed to the project from non-state sources, and that the food manufacturer processor has entered into an agreement to locate a facility in the city. And so can you talk a little more about that and how that resonates or lines up with your testimony that you were trying to take out all local projects?
Representative House.
Madam Chair, Representative Champion, this isn't new money. This is money that's left over from a project. They're setting it aside, and the language is telling you that they're holding it until they get these things done, and then they can spend it on that. So it's not new money.
Representative Champion.
So, Representative House, so tell me what happens to the $500,000 that is outlined as a potential amount to be granted to them if they fulfill those conditions precedent And then what happens if they don't?
Representative House.
Madam Chair, I'm going to let Representative Gunther answer that question.
Madam Chair and Representative Champion, this Norwood Young America is within 3 miles of being outside of the 7-county metro area that is under control of the Met Council. And the Met Council has already told everybody that they don't want to come and help this small town out right on the border of the Met Council's area. If the Met Council came in there, it would cost them $5 million to do what they want to do. So we're putting it in the bonding bill so we could save the Met Council, the 7-county metro area, and everybody else a lot of money and a lot of grief so they can get an industry in there from North Dakota that will process food. And this is for more capacity for water.
One last follow-up. So maybe Representative Gunther, that you can answer this question for me. So is this a facilities that is up and operational at this particular time, or is this money going to help incentivize the food manufacturer to enter into an agreement to locate a facilities in the city? Because that's clearly what 18.31 says.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Champion, this is an existing facility that the person who was producing food in that facility left, leaving it vacant. This company from North Dakota needed a facility. They're going to bring 80-some jobs to Norwood Young America area, and it's a very important thing for everybody included. And it certainly would save the Met Council a lot of money because they pay for sewage treatment in your district where you live. And to go all the miles they'd have to do to hook this up would be very cost prohibitive. So this is why it's in the bonding bill.
Representative Carlson.
If my colleague was done.
I believe he was.
Representative Gunther, I raised the question because this was a new issue, at least relative to being in a bonding bill. And what is the history in your committee? Did your committee pass this and re-refer it over here to Ways and Means? Because I did hear that it at least at one point had been defeated in your committee. I don't know, then was it revived and then passed over? Or I think you should, being that this is a brand new issue in the bonding bill, it would be helpful if you would kind of give us a background as far as what the process had been.
Representative Gunther.
Madam Chairman, again, I reiterate, this was a cross-jurisdictional problem. The Met Council has the obligation to take care of cities and sewer problems within the Met Council's jurisdiction, which is the 7-county metro area. You know better than I do. However, because of its location right on the border of the Met Council's jurisdiction, 3 miles from being Greater Minnesota, which there would be no problem with the Public Facilities Administration funding it. The Public Facilities Administration could not fund it because it was in the Met Council's jurisdiction. So instead of having the Met Council spend $5 million, we're going to spend $500,000.
Madam Chair, Representative Gunther, Representative Carlson. I understand your justification. I'm asking the process question because I did hear it had been defeated in your committee. Was there a motion to reconsider, and then did you pass this over here? I'm not passing judgment on the merits of what you're attempting to do, but I'm asking a process question because there were a whole lot of other local projects that were dropped out of the bonding bill, although they were bonding projects. But what was the committee process? I'm not interested in the Met Council, just what we're doing internally as a legislative body.
Representative Gunther.
Madam Chairman, it was turned down because it wasn't in the Public Facilities Administration's jurisdiction, and that's who we have in our committee.
So,
Barnadine. So
Madam Chair, then it was turned down, so it wasn't a project that was referred to here in any kind of bill form, any kind of memo, so there'd be some transparency. It just arrived in the bill somehow.
Representative Gunther.
Madam Chairman, it was put in the Senate bill this way. So this is where they got the idea from. So So they went to the bonding chairman, and he put it in the bill.
Well, Madam Chair, with all due respect, this is not the Senate. I mean, they may have done it this way, but my only issue with this, and I brought it up when I was going through, was that it is a new issue that hadn't been in the bonding bill before. It may be a project that has merit, and it sounds like it's saving money, but I'm just raising the question that it apparently was something that did not... See, the other committees, I think all of them, referred various projects that were of capital nature one way or another over to the Capital Investment Committee, and some of us on this committee serve on that, including the chair. Well, obviously the chair, because he chairs it. But this one seems to have had somewhat of an extraordinary path. It may be a project with merit. That's not the point.
Representative Carlson, I think Chair Gunther said that it failed as committee because it was located within the Seven County metro area, and they were evaluating projects for the Public Facilities Commission that does projects outside the Seven County metro area. Representative Hornstein might want to weigh in about the costs of running sewer facilities out to the edge of the Seven County metro area. He and I both opposed that option, and we lost. I
understand
that, but I think that Representative Gunther,
I understood
that
everything
he said. Vote
yeah.
on it, so.
Yeah, I just was asking how it got here.
All right. Did you have additional comments, Representative Carlson? My apologies.
No, that was... My only point was that it's a new issue that appeared here. It may have all the merit in the world. It's dealing with sewer. It may be saving money. I was just asking, in light of the fact that other local projects had been removed from the bill, how this particular one arrived here. Along with many of the others, it may be a perfectly valid
project. All right, and I think we understand your point. Representative Anderson, Sarah.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and members. Being one of those counties, having a district that's in one of those seven counties, appreciate the fact that we aren't going to have to pay $5 million for a $500,000 project. It's going to save the taxpayers of all of the counties in the seven-county area, and that includes my citizens in my legislative district, as well as Representative Hornstein's, Representative Lencheski's, Representative Gleiling's, Champions, Kahn, and a whole host of other members. So I appreciate that.
Representative Hornstein, to this point.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And I just, I don't think it's an apples-to-apples comparison with the Elko New Market project, because this appears to me, and I don't know much about it, but it appears to be just specifically for a business. And so I don't think that the Met Council's planning process, you know, would deal with specific infrastructure for a specific business. But, you know, again, without the benefit of a process and Met Council involvement, et cetera, it's difficult to you know, put our finger specifically on what the costs or cost savings are. But my understanding from their planning process and the growth management plan of the Met Council is that this wouldn't be, you know, similar to a Interceptor expansion, for example, in Plymouth or Maple Grove, the Mall of America. And we dealt with the Elm Creek Interceptor, for example, which went out to Plymouth, Maple Grove, that area. And it's not analogous, I think, to that.
All right. Members, we're gonna have to move along. If we are not done by 6:30, we will have a meeting at 9 o'clock on Monday morning. So if we want to finish up by 6:30, we don't have to come in Monday morning. Representative Gryling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Representative Howes, I know it's really hard to do a bonding bill when you're working with a conservative caucus, and you're trying to not lose votes in your caucus, and you're trying to gain votes in our caucus. And I sympathize with your plight. But I just want to probably add to it then by saying that I was a vote yesterday, a proud vote for the Capitol. I thought that I didn't want to be here in my last term and not vote for something that is sorely needed, you know, kind of like putting the roof on the house or paying back the schools. It isn't anybody's project. It isn't glamorous, but I compliment you on on the ambitious bill yesterday to pay for the capital, and I had a lot of feedback from my constituents when I sent out an e-update about that, and they were proud of my vote. And I, you know, if you, except for the Norwood Young America Project, which I also question everything else in here, you know, if this is the amount you were given to work with, then I think you did a marvelous job of being fair, picking repairs and, you know, things that need doing and that are not going to be controversial. Why is this in or why is that in? But I just have to serve notice as you're trying to get up to your 81 votes that even though I voted for the Capitol yesterday, I could not support this bill, not for what's in it, but as Representative Carlson so eloquently listed, for what is not in it. And I won't repeat the things that he said, but those would be my priorities as well.
Representative Breinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I have a lot of similar concerns to those Representative Carlson mentioned, but I want to give a bit different context to this. I've only been here 6 years, so I had 4 years in the majority to experience the bonding process, and then these 2 years in the minority. And I'm confused about the issue about trust in this circumstance, because, and when I say this, none of this is personal, Representative House, at all. But in a legislative process, I should have process reasons to trust. And for me, for the issues that are important to my region, the kinds of things that I would have hoped to have had are hearings on the bills that I carried, and then seeing evidence in the final, in the proposal of a regional balance that at least gave some serious consideration to the importance of the projects for my region. And I could make very similar arguments, and I'm just going to mention a specific project because I think it reflects some of the discussion that Representative Anderson mentioned, and that's benefits to the taxpayers. The regional treatment center, that proposal is critical for the entire state of Minnesota. All taxpayers are going to be affected by all the issues around that proposal. So the balanced regional process. And then the third thing that's missing for me is a message from the minority lead on bonding that she concurs that this is an approach that is most likely to advance the kind of bill that would serve the needs of the members of the body in the best way possible. And none of those have happened, so I don't have trust in the process, so it's hard for me to give my vote now to a conference committee that I think is most likely to neglect the interests of my region. I don't have any reason to suspect that those interests will be honored or included. So that's an overall umbrella reason, and the fact that the bill is vanilla is possible gives me less confidence in it, the role it can serve as a bonding bill for the state.
Thank you. Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, what's the motion on this bill?
The motion on the bill is to move it to the general register.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, then I do have a question about Section 28 of the bill where we're actually creating a new water district. Query rules state that this would then mean the bill would have to go to Committee on Governmental Operations, unless, of course, this issue has been heard and passed in the Committee on Governmental Operations prior. And so maybe Representative House could shed some light on that. Otherwise, a motion on the floor prior to second reading would be quite in order to re-refer this to GovOps.
Representative House.
Madam Chair, Representative Biskins, there is a trout stream northern Minnesota that they take the water out of to make snow. Anybody here from the range? Can't remember the name of the place.
Lutzen.
Thank you. Yeah, the Popple River, Lutzen. And working with the DNR, the owners of the ski resort and everybody up there and the watershed, the best solution was to pump the water from Lake Superior and stop taking it out of the Popple River. And everyone agreed that would be the best way to do it. So that's the decision that was made by the DNR, the local folks, and everyone else. And it does have the governor's support, and it's got my full support.
Representative.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Whether or not there's merit to the issue is irrelevant to the rules of the body. When we are creating a new governmental entity, the bill and the issue has to be heard in the Committee on Governmental Operations. I mean, that is so crystal clear. It can be the most wonderful thing in the world. All right, that's fine. Then it'll breeze right through GovOps. But we can't sit in Ways and Means and create new governmental entities and just say, but it's a good thing. All right, I suppose we could. All right, but be hard pressed to argue against a motion on the floor that it be re-referred prior to second.
Madam Chair, sorry to interrupt, but I just got word it did go through GovOps. It was approved. It went to the Environment Committee.
Yeah, started Environment.
All right, thank you, Representative Khan.
Just one last question on this because I've heard conflicting things. Is Norwood Young America in the metropolitan area or out of the metropolitan area? I heard
Representative Lencheski wants to take this one.
Representative Cole's former district. It is in the 7-county metro, and okay. I don't know who replaced Representative Cole's, but that's
okay.
That's
Leidiger.
Where it is.
Leidiger.
Okay, there you go.
Representative Leidiger's district. All right, and then Representative Hamilton.
Oh, Madam Chair, I was just going to comment. I was beginning to support Representative Carlson, thinking that the Met Council should be responsible for that project. But
Representative Lencheski.
Madam Chair, the Met Council, I think Representative Hornstein was trying to bring that, would not have paid for that project. The Met Council does not do big handouts to relocate businesses. That would be assessed to the developer. So that would not be that the people of the 7-county metro would be paying for that. There would be some portion within the MUSA line, but the testimony that was sort of the Met Council would just step in and pay for that, that wouldn't take place. And they only do sewer.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, I think you want to go to a vote fairly quickly. The reason I raised my hand was not because I was referenced, but I wasn't arguing about the project or arguing the Met Council should do it. I was just asking a process question as to how it got here. That was my only point. But, you know, one of the reasons, members, and this should be of concern to people on both sides of the aisle, we do operate under both, when we get to a conference committee, House rules and joint rules. And when we go into conference with a bill that's this scale bad, I just want to remind people of Rule 6.40, Reports of Conference Committees. A conference committee report must include only subject matter contained in the House or Senate versions of the bill for which that conference committee was appointed, or like subject matter contained in a bill passed by the House or Senate. So it's very clear then if we go in with a bill that has as few items in it as this one does, it's really going to come back as only a Senate bill if we follow the rules. Now, if you look at the Senate bill and you're satisfied with what's in the Senate bill, maybe that's okay. But if there are projects that are not in this bill and are not in the Senate bill that you would have liked to have seen at least this body go forward with so they could at least be discussed and acted upon in conference committee, you should have a lot of concern about this bill, both sides of the aisle. And I assume we're going to follow the rules. I agree with Mr. Biskins, Representative Biskins, that the rules are there for a purpose. And there is a purpose for that rule. So I'll stop there, and I've expressed all of my concerns about both process and the bill, and I'll leave it at that.
All right, Representative House renews his motion that House File 1752 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay.
The motion no.
No. The motion prevails. Thank you, Representative House. Representative Garofalo, you want to take the gavel? Well, I do. I do.
Mindy, you can't. Mindy, you can't go. She's the one you've got.
Sit here?
No, I'm going to just get blown.
I'm going to start smoking.
I haven't heard of the
why don't you just do up a little?
Representative Holberg, welcome to your committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. First, we'd like to recognize a special guest in the room tonight, Mrs. Garofalo, the much, much, much better half is here. Julie, welcome. We'll try and get this done as quickly as possible so you can go out on your date night tonight.
Yeah,
so
if everyone could just pretend to like me while she's here, I'd really appreciate it. Representative Holberg moves House File 2967 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. Representative Holberg.
Thank you, members. And this is what we would call the forecast bill. In other words, it takes the changes that are forecast in law in the February forecast numbers and updates the numbers. They're pretty, it's nothing real new here in the base bill. There are a number of amendments. The first amendment I'd like to take is the 464 amendment. And I don't know if Representative Clark is in the room. This is an issue that she brought to me. It has to do with county service, veteran service officers. And I would like to, on line 6 of the 464 amendment, insert after the dollar sign $200,000.
Representative Holberg incorporates that into the 464 amendment. Any discussion on the author's amendment?
I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those say nay. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Holberg.
And the A2 amendment, I believe, is Mr. Mark's recommendation that we have some things of similar nature traveling at the same time. And so that would say that if we, this is the school aid thing, we have some different ways of dealing with the shift issue. Representative Marks, are you coming to, do I need to phone a friend here?
Representative Holberg moves the A2 amendment.
No, I don't want that. Never mind. We don't want that one.
Okay. Representative Holberg withdraws the A2 amendment.
All right. Representative Garofalo also has an amendment.
Madam Chair, or Representative Holberg, the Chair moves the A8 amendment. And members, what this is the chief concern for why we should not be paying back the shift with the cash accounts we have is that there were issues of cash flow and concerns that the state would have to engage in short-term borrowing. Members, what this does is it takes dollars from our cash accounts and it pays back the shift, but that increment of the payback of the shift, that $430 million, MMB would have the authority to meter out those payments in a way that do not result in short-term borrowing. It gives them the authority to do that and would pay it back in just fiscal year 13. And this authority would be limited to fiscal year 13, only the $430 million that would take place. That would increase the payment shift from 64.3 to 70.2. In addition, there's a modification on line 19. Right now, the shift is automatically filled back to 90%. It increases that to 95%. The 90% payment schedule is a relic of the past with technology and attendance updates. There's no reason we can't be getting that cash to our school districts. So, Madam Chair, so the Chair moves the A8 amendment. Representative Holberg, do you have a position on the A8 amendment before we go to member questions?
I would always like to support the Chair's amendment.
Thank you. Any questions for members of the committee? Representative Greiling and then Kahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Garofalo, the question is for you. So we talked about this one ahead, but I just want clarification for the committee. This is a one year only in terms of the metered payment plan.
Right. Representative Greiling, we took away MMB's authority before before they used to be able to do that with any amount of payment. We took that authority away last year. This is just for this $430 million just in fiscal year 13. In addition, if the November forecast were to improve and automatically pay back the shift, that increment, that extra money, would not have MMB approval. It's just the 430 that takes it from 64.3 to 70.2. Yes. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then on page 1, 1.19, line 1.19, going from 90 to 95. I know this change was one of your wishes for some time. But we never had enough money to decide to do it because it obviously increases then the amount that we need to pay to get up to that amount, the 95. And so I'm wondering how much extra money are we having to add to the forecast to pay back, or I guess it's not even in the forecast, so this is can be done more stealthily because we're not accounting for what we owe to our schools in the forecasts anymore, this starting very recently, which I'm very sorry about, because I think if we don't account for it, it's out of sight, out of mind, and we have a harder time getting ourselves to pay it back, just like repairing the capital. But if it were in the forecast, and it obviously has to be paid for here, how much is it?
It would be about $380 million. That's off the top of my head. Mr. Marks, do you have an approximate number? Mr. Crow.
You get to phone a friend.
Mr. Crowley, the chair's guess is 380.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Greg Crowe, fiscal analyst for Education Finance. Price is Right rules, you'd be wrong because you went over, I'd say, about $375 million.
Oh, thanks. Representative Greiling, do you have a follow-up?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd wonder what is your plan then to pay this? You're just adding it to the credit card and going on your merry way, or is there something more?
No, Representative Greiling, to the contrary, we're taking it off the credit card. This has been something that has been, since the mid-70s we've had in the state of Minnesota, is that we've deferred 10% of our payments. Now, that's been required in the past when we had paper forms and punching in holes and things. Now, with technology and instant communication, there's simply no reason to have that in the past. So what we can do now is this will be accounted for the same way we pay back the shift right now. Any additional proceeds that come in beyond the forecast will automatically go to our schools. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, as you know, I agree with you that we could go to 95. Dr. Melcher said in the committee 3 or 4 years ago that this is possible to do with today's technology. That argument that you're making is accurate. And as a long-range goal, I strongly support it, just like I strongly support the long-range goal of paying back the 2.2 or whatever it is now that we owe the schools for late payments and the $600 million or whatever it is now for what we owe for special ed that we prorate. And I would like to do this $375 million as well because it's just accounting gimmicks that allow us to change this number back and forth. But I beg to differ with you about the credit card discussion. You know, yes, this was a borrowing from the schools, but you're paying for it with a credit card. If you just put it, you know, out there somewhere, not in the forecast to be paid back, but just in the Netherland, that has to be paid for, and you've just added it to our state credit card. So now, if it's with $375 million and we owe $3 billion, now we owe $3.4 billion to our schools. And so that's the part that concerns me, and that's the part that's on the credit card. And I, you know, I don't mind doing this, but I do mind just doing it with a flick of the pen like we do a lot of things regarding schools with no money.
Representative Kahn, then Brainard. Representative Kahn.
Well, what is the governor's position on this? Didn't he veto one of the bills that just went by?
Representative Kahn, as I stated in the introduction of the aid amendment, the chief concern on this was cash flow issues. So what we've done is we've crafted this bill so that the cash flow issue has been removed. Now, if there's another reason why people are against paying back our schools this year, if it's really not cash flow, if it's something else, then we can find out what that is. But if the issue is cash flow, this amendment takes care of that issue. Representative Kahn.
And have you discussed this with the governor and with MMB, and is this acceptable to them, or is this one of the things that they're Does this make it more acceptable to them or whatever? Not as opposed to what you think they may have said.
No, Representative Kahn, what they did say is that short-term borrowing, as it had concerns for the cash flow account, was the reason why they vetoed the bill. This bill addresses that concern. I have not spoken with Commissioner Showalter nor the governor on this issue. Representative Kahn.
You're putting it on a bill which I think has to pass in order for us to do a bonding bill, and yet you don't think it was reasonable to go discuss this inventive solution like your previous inventive, wonderful, innovative solution, which then got vetoed. You didn't think it was worthwhile to discuss it?
Representative Kahn, my experience has been that you get a bill to conference committee, and that's the best way to get something done. You don't vote against bills before they go to conference. When you vote against bills before they go to conference, that means you don't want the bill at all. That's my experience. Representative Kahn.
It's just asking, I guess, the answer to the answer to my question was no.
Correct. Representative Brennan.
Mr. Chair, if I might.
Representative Holmer.
This amendment has been posted a couple of days because this bill has been held over. I haven't heard either way anything about this amendment as of yet. So, and certainly if there are concerns, I'd be happy to talk to anybody that was willing to talk to me about it.
Representative Reinhart, then Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would just say that the relatively benign character that Representative Holberg gave to this bill when she introduced it is dramatically changed by this amendment. And I have grave concern that this content of this amendment wasn't heard by the K-12 Finance Committee so that it could have a full vetting and have appropriate testifiers, and including MMB, but not only MMB. I think this is a dramatic, this amendment has dramatic significance, and I know there's a chess game going on with the governor, but I think there's a lot more importance to this kind of recommendation gaining a public hearing. So I would just call members' attention to the fact that this dramatically changes the character of 2967.
Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chair, I'd like a roll call.
Representative Hamilton requests a roll call. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm going to oppose this amendment. I guess Representative Hamilton thinks if we get on record that we'll have to decide to support it. But this is something that, not counting this going from 90 to 95, which I think is kind of a cheap shot to put in this bill and have no way to pay for it and be kind of blithe about it being taking away credit card when it's adding to a credit card. But the other section, when Representative Grafflo talked to me about it, it was in conjunction with the bill that the governor vetoed to pay back the SHIP using the reserves, that he wondered if the governor would be more open to that discussion if we had this measure in place. And so I did talk to Mr. Darren Cordes and Kevin McHenry about this to go back and ask the governor's office if this would make any difference in terms of them being open to that bill. And as you may remember, Representative Grafflo would know, I was one of three Democrats that actually supported that bill. I was taking the tact of, we do need to pay back the schools, and here's one plan. The Democrats have the plan with the foreign operating corporations. Why not? Here's one plan. The Democrats have the plan with the foreign operating corporations. Why not try to get some discussion there of a compromise so we could pay back the schools? So, Representative Grafflo, you suggested throwing this into the mix. I did not get any positive feedback. I never got any feedback at all. So obviously they're not going to leap on this plan, or they could have come back and had something positive. Nobody has any positive comments about it from the governor, and I did ask. So it's, to me, when you don't get any feedback, that means they're not interested, and then the governor subsequently did veto that bill. So, you know, I guess I'm confused why we are taking what normally is a non-controversial last section of the education omnibus bill, the one that Representative Holberg has, which is still non-controversial. It seems to me it's the sort of thing that kind of has to be done to make our technical numbers work. And now we're adding an amendment like this onto the bill. Hasn't gone through K-12. In fact, the original Representative Holberg's bill did not go through K-12 either, which is very unusual. It's odd that she's carrying it in a separate bill. It's odd that you're not carrying it, Representative Garofalo. I'd be curious if there's a story there, but we don't need to take up time here with that on a Friday night. But members, I would recommend a no on this amendment, because there's no way to pay for it. It's just a number on paper adding to the credit card debt of our state finances. It plays into our bond ratings, which we would, I would think we would be wanting to get back into cheaper interest rates. And also, now you're setting up a mechanism here to try to further the cause of a bill the governor's vetoed, but you're allowing the state to do what we passed last year that they couldn't do, and that was they could not borrow from the schools. You're giving, you're taking with one hand and giving to, with another. Now, the state government, if they need money, they can rip right into the local school districts, only for 1 year, granted. But I just think that this is, you know, a bill that's very complicated. It should go through. It should go through the Education Committee, and in fact, as you're smiling there, Representative Garofalo, it might be that I'm reading it. I haven't read it carefully for 3 weeks either, or however long ago we talked about this. The metered payments may not. Do they go through borrowing from the schools, or is it just adjusting the payments that the department is passing out? But if I'm asking that question, I'd like an answer to it. But to me, it's just one more reason to vote no on this on this amendment, not going through the process, not being well understood, and I don't think we even have education lobbyists here to give us input on what they think.
Well, Representative Greiling, as I said in the introduction of the amendment, they cannot go below the current payment level, so districts can only get better in fiscal year 13. We're currently at 64.3, and any metering of payments that we give to MMB would only be to give additional money to the schools above current law. Any additional comments from members of the committee? The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Holberg.
Yes.
Representative Downey. Representative Carlson.
No.
Representative Abler.
Yes.
Representative Bruce Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Sarah Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Beard.
Aye.
Representative Reinert.
No.
Representative Biskins.
No.
Representative Champion.
No.
Representative Davids.
Yes.
Representative Eakin.
Pardon me?
Representative Garofalo.
Yes.
Vote how you want.
Representative Gottwalt.
Yes.
Representative Greiling.
No.
Representative Gunther.
Yes.
Representative Hackbarth.
Yes.
Representative Hamilton.
Yes.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Howes.
Yes.
Representative Huntley.
No.
Representative Kahn.
No.
Representative Kiffmeyer. Representative Lanning.
Yes.
Representative Lincheski.
No.
Representative McNamara.
Yes.
Representative Nornes.
Yes.
Representative Pawlowski. Representative Rukavina. Representative Slawick.
No.
Representative Smith.
Yes.
Representative Wagenius. Representative Westrom.
Aye.
Representative Carlson, did you want me to wait for Representative Eakin to come back, or should we just close the roll?
No, I don't.
Okay.
He didn't ask.
Eakin.
There being 17 ayes and 10 nays, the A8 amendment is adopted. Is there an owner of the A4 amendment? Representative Holberg.
Yes, we also need to put the Cornish bill on this bill, because the Senate companion to the Cornish bill isn't moving. We're hoping to change that, but Ms. Novak has the necessary information to make that work.
Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chair and members, the motion is to move House File 2860 as amended into House File 2967, the language of. And there is a correction on the amendment, the A9 amendment, and it's somewhat of a technical amendment. It's on page 2, line 32, after 2012, comma, insert an and on page 2, line 33, strike everything after 2013 and delete the new language, and delete the new language on line 34.
Representative Holberg moves that that amendment with the incorporated oral suggestion from Ms. Novak. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Is there an owner for the A4 amendment? Representative Wincheski.
Thank you, Representative, Mr. Chair, Chair Garofalo. And I mentioned to Representative Holberg I wasn't going to offer this. Now we had a discussion about the other bill, but I do want to just bring it to the committee's attention. The A4 actually deletes all the sections that my intent would have been to make the bill clean so it wouldn't need to go to taxes. I think we've demonstrated in this committee for the last 2 years that we don't care about that. And just so you know what it is, Article 1 deletes all the levies. Representative Greiling was talking about how this bill would have gone through education, and it would have also gone through taxes. And historically, this bill, you can put it together however you want, but Article 1 members is a whole bunch of property tax levy changes. That's all it is, pure and simple. It's a tax bill, Article 1. So I'm not going to offer it. I think we've demonstrated, and it's nice that we've got the chair of the Ways and Means Committee and the chair of the Tax Committee and the chair of the Education Finance Committee in the room to hear it. I mean, there is a well-established pattern in the last 2 years that fees, property tax levies, tax increases, surcharges don't go to taxes anymore. And all I would ask, not going to offer it, is that the minority would be afforded the same opportunity to change property tax levies, increase fees, change taxes, and do surcharges in this committee, and could skip the tax committee. So, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Did you withdraw the amendment, Representative?
I never offered it.
Oh, you never offered. Okay. Any additional comments from members of the committee? Representative Holberg, any closing comments?
No, I just renew my motion that House File 2967, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register.
All those in favor of the motion, please
signify
by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
No.
Motion prevails. House File 2967, as amended, is passed and sent to the General Register. Representative Holberg, any closing comments before the committee adjourns?
No, we won't have to come back Monday morning, as far as I can tell right now. I'm hoping not, so, but very likely Monday evening. So,
all right. Members, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.